For me personally, like if I'm going to look at a company's website and I look at it on a mobile device, if it's not mobile optimized, I've created some assumptions about that company in my mind. Whether you do a mobile website or a responsive website, I think you probably should do something because it makes you look bad to the end user, to the customer, if you're not paying attention to those details.
Branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the Internet Show, all about small business marketing. Jay Aaron hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
If only everything would stay the same, right? Then you wouldn't need to listen to these podcasts, and what would I do with all my spare time? But everything is always evolving, and that includes how people surf the web and visit your website. Last year, about 17% of website traffic was by some sort of mobile device. That's a 57% increase over the previous year, and you can expect that trend again for 2014. People increasingly are using a wide variety of devices to access your website, and thus, the growth of the movement of responsive web design, which is really not that old of a strategy, just a couple of years old. So the conventional wisdom in the past has been to build a mobile version of your website. In fact, back in the summer of 08, I had a podcast episode advocating you do just that. But that was before we realized how widely varied internet surfing habits would be. Smartphones, tablets, laptops, everything. So what are you supposed to do? Well, to help you answer that question, I grabbed a web developer here in my hometown of Waco. He's a well-respected developer in the Joomla community. He even wrote one of the early books on Joomla website development. He's going to educate us on what we should be doing regarding responsive web design, which seems to be surpassing mobile website development as the strategy of choice. So you're going to be hearing a few terms and several resources being thrown around during this episode. There's a cheat sheet in the show notes on the podcast website at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Also, there will be a more in-depth blog post you can check out with that cheat sheet on my blog at themarketingspot.com. So one of the terms you're going to hear early on is CMS, which stands for Content Management System, which refers to platforms like WordPress, Joomla, and Drupal. So let's dive in and learn what we need to know about responsive web design. Okay, so it's time to introduce our guest now, and he's right here in my office. Please tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah, my name is Corey Webb, and I'm a web developer from Waco, Texas. I have been developing websites for on and off for 15 years, professionally for about 8 years. And so I've been involved with the Joomla community. Joomla is an open source content management system. I've been involved with that community for several years now. And so as part of my job is to keep up on the latest trends and techniques in web development, and especially as it relates to Joomla, but just more in general. That's what I do and who I am.
And you actually wrote a book, one of the early books on Joomla, didn't you?
I did. It's called Beginning Joomla Website Development, published back in 2009, I believe. So I highly recommend that you do not get it because it's terribly out of date. So there's lots of other great resources out there for Joomla if you want to get into the Joomla world. So that is not one of them.
We're going to get back to Joomla here in a little bit in the content management systems, but the big question I think on a lot of people's minds these days, Corey, is what to do about all these different devices out there that people are now accessing your website on. And so from what I've seen, there's this big debate, and I think there's a big question in the minds of the business owners is, what do we do? We hear about this responsive design stuff. We hear about we need a mobile website. Is there an easy answer to this? And if so, what is the answer?
Sure. I guess it comes down to defining what responsive design is. And so a lot of times we think about responsive web design as mobile optimization or making it your website look good on a mobile device. That's part of it. But I would go a step further and say that responsive design is making your content universally accessible across a number of devices. So not just your desktop device, not just your tablet or your phone. I mean, you've got, you're coming up, you're going to have Google Glass or smartwatches or smart TVs. And so responsive design really takes into account making it your website and your content available on all of these devices in an optimized format for that device. And so that's a long answer for the question, but I think responsive design is a more holistic approach where you're taking all of that into account. And so, yes, you are getting a mobile website, but you're doing so much more. You're making your content accessible regardless of the device that the user is accessing your website.
But really, responsive design is you taking your existing website so people are still really accessing your existing website, whereas a mobile site, it's, from what I understand it, it's a different site, right?
Technically, I mean, it could be both. One strategy that a lot of companies have used in the past is, you know, you've got like a mobile.mywebsite.com or m.mywebsite.com. That's, you're seeing that a lot less these days because a lot more companies, especially a lot of larger media properties, are moving towards responsive design because it really makes you focus on the content itself and the structure of the content itself rather than the actual design, the actual layout, because the layout should be derived from the content. So you look at the structure of the content, and then using responsive design, then you can then make that content accessible across multiple devices. So yes, it's different. It's a different discipline doing responsive versus a mobile website, because with a mobile website, you can basically throw whatever content you want into it and you can strip out whatever content you want. Whereas with responsive design, you kind of put it all out there. And there's certain techniques you can use to hide things on a mobile device, but for the most part, you're making your content available to everybody across the different platforms.
So how do we decide? I mean, is it even necessary to do one of these? It seems to be now, at least from what I'm seeing, the trend out there is you need to do something, right? You can't just say, hey, here's my website and hope it shows up great on all the different devices. Is it a must thing you have to do now? Do we have to go to either one, responsive or mobile right now?
I would say the only thing you have to do is get Flash out of your website. Because that, because
isn't that 10 years ago we had to do that,
exactly, right? If you still have Flash, you're way behind. But because that's really the only thing that you can't do on a mobile, on iOS devices, is view Flash. And so I would get that out of there, so that, because users can, they can, if you have a desktop optimized website on a mobile device, people can zoom in by the little pinch and zoom in gestures that you can do on a mobile device. So, you know, I guess it's a marketing question. For technically, users can still access your website, and there are certain things that they can't do, but for the most part, they can see your content. So as far as you have to do it, I'm not going to say you have to do it. Another question is, you know, you got to look at your analytics, because you can tell how many people are hitting your website from mobile devices versus desktop devices. I mean, if you've got 99.9% coming from desktop devices, don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about what it looks like on mobile, because nobody's, maybe one person is hitting it from that. So that's another question that you got to ask and that you got to look at when considering that. I don't want to say you have to do it, but you probably should. It's one of those things where, for me personally, like if I'm going to look at a company's website and I look at it on a mobile device, if it's not mobile optimized, I've created some assumptions about that company in my mind based on the lack of mobile optimization. So whether you do a mobile website or responsive website or whatever, I think you probably should do something, because it makes you look bad to the end user, to the customer, if you're not paying attention to those details.
And if you do it now, you'll probably be glad in a year or two that you did it then.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, you know, 12 years ago, they said, you got to have a website. If you're not on the web, you know, you're way behind. Well, a lot of people waited and they didn't do it, and they didn't have a website. Well, now you do. Now it's just a cost of doing business, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have a website because it's really the most efficient and effective way to communicate with your customers, I think, because you can give them a lot of information beyond just a 30-second TV spot or some other, or a newspaper ad. Your website gives you this whole platform to give your users information. Well, so yeah, you have to have a website. And so now you're getting to, okay, do you have to have a mobile website? Well, no, you don't, but yeah, you kind of do, mm-hmm. right? Because in 5 years, the people that don't have mobile websites are going to look like Neanderthals. I mean, you already kind of do, but, you know.
What gets me is sometimes you'll pull up one of those antique websites that looks like it was designed in Front Page like 15 years ago. Like, what have you been doing the past 15 years? But I don't mean to put you on the spot here, Corey, but do you have the statistics available? What's it like now as far as traffic to websites, overall traffic is, you know, how much of it is on devices, from devices other than a desktop unit?
Sure. I don't have global statistics. I think it's going to vary from site to site. And that's why I say you need to look at your analytics for your specific situation. I mean, if you're whoever your target market is, I mean, certain markets, they don't have mobile devices, whereas other markets, that's all they have, right? So if your target market is rural Africa, for example, they're all on mobile devices. They're all on smartphones, but they don't have computers. So you're going to have a huge percentage of your users hitting your website from a mobile device, whereas from America, for example, I mean, certain parts of America, everybody's got a computer, seems like. So you probably get a pretty good mix nowadays.
So what's the process then? Let's say we've decided we want a responsive design site. Do we have to get a new site? What do we do now?
The answer to every question in web development is it depends.
You're a sly web developer.
Right, exactly. It really does depend. I mean, so if you're already running a website on a CMS, a popular CMS like Joomla or WordPress or Drupal or one of those, typically you should be able to find a responsive template pretty easily nowadays. I mean, and you can get them for free to, you know, $50, $100. So that process is pretty easy. It depends on what you're running on your website, but, you know, it should be pretty cheap and pretty easy to do. You know, you can hire a professional to convert it for you. I wouldn't take... And this is where we talk about content. It's if your content is already structured in such a way that you can easily port it into a new theme or a new design that's responsive, then it's pretty easy. If your content is not structured very well, if your content is in a bunch of HTML files rather than in some sort of a database or some sort of structured content, then it's going to take you some time because you're going to have to restructure all that content and then make it responsive. So again, it depends.
So I had a client who a few months ago, and he has a Drupal site, and we decided, okay, it's time to move to responsive design. So the web developer who did the site for us, we contacted him, and he was just going to take our existing site and then, which was customized, and I guess do a bunch of CMS or CSS basically on every page. Do we need a new site, or do we just say, hey, here's our site and we can hire someone to just come in and rearrange all the parts for the various devices?
If you're using a CMS, you probably do not need a new site per se. You're going to have the same site, the same content, the same structure, but you're just going to put a new skin on it, basically. And so that new skin is going to have the CSS and the tools, the JavaScript that's going to make it available and make it possible for it to be responsive.
Okay, Corey, so let's say we decided we want to go ahead and do this and now we need to hire a developer. What should we look for and what should we ask when we're going to hire a developer to convert our website to responsive design?
I would look for developers with a lot of front-end web development experience. And so, you know, if someone says, you know, someone's really good at PHP or Ruby or some other back-end language, well, that's not going to help you with responsive design because responsive is all about the front end. It's all about the HTML and the CSS and being able to do the media queries and things like that. So I would look for that as far as their skill set. I would also look for people that maybe are familiar with a lot of the popular frameworks that are out there. So Bootstrap is a popular CSS framework that has already got a lot of responsiveness built into it. There's another one called Foundation from a company called Zurb, Z-U-R-B, that's another great framework. So I would look for that sort of thing, that sort of language, at least when you're talking to developers. Most of them these days, though, I mean, that's one of those things where it's kind of one of those basic skills now that you kind of have to have. It's HTML, CSS, responsive. I mean, you kind of have to know these things to be a relevant and respectable web developer, so.
And so we should just look for those on the resume of someone who's going to do a responsive design for us.
Exactly. I would look for examples of responsive designs that they've done. Being able to make a website narrower for a mobile device doesn't necessarily mean that you're good at it. I would look at some examples of what they've done. If they're on a CMS, for example, if they want to sell you a template that's pre-built, that somebody else built, I would say, oh, great, show me that template. Show me what it looks like on all these devices. Show me what my site's going to look like. At least show me what other sites look like with that template. So you definitely want to see examples.
What I hear you saying is there's a little bit of artistry that goes into responsive design too, right?
Absolutely. It goes beyond just, you know, taking all the columns, putting it all into one column and shrinking it down and making it narrower. It's worrying about colors and text alignment and things like that, and what's going to look right, what's going to look good on mobile devices, and also across multiple platforms too. I mean, you're thinking about iPhone, Android phones, small tablets, big tablets, laptops, big computers, large screens, TVs, etc. I mean, you don't have to necessarily worry about smartwatches or things like that at this point, because they're not quite there yet. Google Glass, for example, I don't even think it has a web browser in it, but things like that. You want to think about what's it going to look like across all these devices.
So you've mentioned CMS, or content management system, several times, and you wrote a book actually on Joomla. So we're talking to a guy who wrote the book. So the three major CMSs that people hear about all the time are Joomla, WordPress, and Drupal. Compare those. Is there a best? Does there have to be a best, or what's the right one for a business website?
If you were to hire me to build you a website, I would probably use Joomla, primarily because it's what I'm good at. It's what I know. I can build a Joomla site pretty quickly and pretty easily without having to do a whole lot of research. And so you're going to get a lot of efficiency because of my expertise in Joomla. So that's one thing to consider, is what is your developer an expert in? And then another thing to consider is the community around the platforms. All three of them have great communities. And so you're going to get great support. Even if your developer flakes out and leaves, you know, on any of those platforms, you're going to be able to find another developer pretty easily to handle the work going forward. So that's another thing to consider as well. In terms of technology, they're all, in my mind, they're all kind of the same thing. They're an underlying framework for structuring your content and for developing extensions on top of that framework to provide custom functionality that maybe is not built into the system. And all three of them have that. So I see them all as kind of the same thing. WordPress has WordPress.com, which is a hosted solution. So you can go in and set up an account and have your website up pretty quickly and do a lot of it yourself. There's also WordPress.org, which is one that you download and put on your own servers and build it yourself. That's kind of along the same lines of Joomla and Drupal, in terms of you download some software, put it on your own server, build it yourself.
Are there specific instances where one might be better than the other? Like if you're building an e-commerce site, or if you just have a lot of multimedia content, or is there any factors like that to consider?
I tend to be a little negative about Joomla in terms of e-commerce, because there haven't been a lot of great options for Joomla in e-commerce. And so there's a lot of hosted solutions for e-commerce. There's BigCommerce, FoxyCart, Shopify, things like that. So what I tend to recommend when you're using even Drupal or WordPress is set up your marketing, your content in a CMS, but then do all your e-commerce through one of these hosted solutions. You're going to get a lot more robust solution than you would if you tried to host it yourself. If you had to compare, I mean, I know Drupal's got some really good solutions. There's a tool called Drupal Commerce, which is really good, that has a company behind it that manages it, supports it, and you download it, install it on your own Drupal website, and go. There's also a tool for WordPress called WooCommerce that I've heard is really good. Both of these have companies behind them that drive the development, and you can kind of trust that it's going to be supported and maintained. Joomla doesn't really have a lot of great options for that sort of thing. So,
well, I've used WordPress for quite a while, and what I happen to use when I put my website up. And are there considerations, like, I manage a lot of the website myself, and I can, because I guess I'm used to using WordPress now. Do you think, from the novice user standpoint, are one of the three platforms any easier than the others?
In terms of ease of use, I would say probably WordPress is the easiest. Joomla's, I think, pretty easy. And then Drupal is getting easier.
Are we at an age now, Corey, where we're going to use one of these CMSs? Do people just like hand code websites anymore?
Well, actually, static websites are coming back in popularity, because a lot of these new JavaScript frameworks are coming out.
Well, in the old school, the developers, it was almost like, I'll develop your site, I'll host your site, and if you want to make updates to it, you pay me. So it was kind of like, oh, you've got me. I can't get out of it. But now there are a lot more options for businesses out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the days of having to pay a developer, you know, thousands of dollars to maintain your website are over. I mean, we, you know, our typical model was to, you know, you paid us to build the website. And then we hand over the keys and you can kind of manage it yourself. You come back to us for things that maybe are a little bit beyond what a novice user could or should be able to do. But for the most part, yeah, that's the beauty of these CMSs like Joomla, Drupal, WordPress, Squarespace, Wix, things like that is it puts a lot of the power back in the hands of the business owner rather than having to rely so heavily on a trained web developer.
So before we let you go, Corey, let's kind of look into the future. Any trends coming up? We've been talking a lot about responsive, but what else do we need to be on the lookout for?
I think social is becoming such an important part of everybody's lives these days. I mean, everybody's on Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest or Instagram. I think you need to put as much or more effort into your social media strategy as you do into your actual website, because I think in terms of actually engaging your customers or engaging your end users, there's no better platform than Facebook or Twitter or things like that. So, I don't know if that's an upcoming trend or if it's something that's already happening though, because it's, you know, I think again, it's one of those costs of doing business. You have to have a presence on these social media networks.
It's not one or the other nowadays.
Yeah. You really need to have both. And it's a question of, you know, I used to think of it in terms of the social media driving users to your website. And the reality is all of these things taken together are part of your web presence.
Okay. Awesome. So Corey, people want to find out more about you, contact you, ask you some questions. Where should they contact you?
You can contact me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Corey Webb, CoreyWebb, all one word. And that's probably the best place for it. I'm on Twitter kind of all the time. So
cool. Lots of stuff to put in the show notes. So you can find that at powertothesmallbusiness.com, including a link to Corey's Twitter account. Hey, Corey, thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All the show notes and links are at the podcast website at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Also, see a more in-depth look at responsive web design on my blog at themarketingspot.com. If you already have a responsive design website, email me your thoughts, or better yet, post a comment on the podcast website or my blog, and my email address is jay@themarketingspot.com. And one note, I'm working on a reformatting, reimagining, relaunching of this podcast, beginning with episode number 100. This is number 94, by the way. This podcast has been largely unchanged since I first started it in late 2007. And if you have an idea to make this podcast more useful, hey, shoot me your ideas at my email address, jay@themarketingspot.com. I'd be happy to hear from you. My name is Jay Arrett of The Marketing Spot. Thanks for listening. Please share this podcast with your friends and make sure you subscribe by email or iTunes so that you never miss an episode of the internet show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
Thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of The Big Success Show for the opening and closing credits of the podcast. You can find Mary Lynn at The Big Success Podcast, biggsuccess.com.